It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to the program. I do hope you'll call. I spent much of yesterday's program, especially, I think, the last part of the first hour, talking to a lady who's possessed. Now, I wonder if you ever watch my Sunday morning broadcasts on my website, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. And it happens frequently, not because I'm in the business of exercising people, but because more people in America and in the world are becoming possessed. And that is the missing component to what we call mental illness. And what's the name of my famous psychiatrist, Jung? Carl Gustav Jung. I haven't read a lot of his works. I've read a lot of his comments. I read little snippets of everybody. And from what I read, and I won't bother with you right now, I'm going to quote myself all the time as much as possible, is that he believed in evil. And then that it does infect people. And that must be a component of understanding the patient's problem. Because as long as we are other than ourselves, and it reaches beyond simply the intellect and the brain, but into the soul itself, there is no way of curing anybody of anything. Honestly, I believe that for any psychiatrist listening, I would appreciate some discussion about this matter if you would care to call the number 866-8883. 800-866-8883. Anytime during my program, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. And if you have not yet understood that we happen to be on the internet repeating the program over and over again, and if you only get 1 hour of the program, you might be able to get both hours. You may listen to your radio station. Maybe you can get the management, the program director, to kick in the second hour. But they do replay it, you see, so that's okay. But if you want to call me, you have to call me at our time, 9 to 11, see. So you can listen to the internet repeated all day long, so you can actually don't have to stay up late at night. But if you want to call me, whoever is listening, about this subject, exorcism, as an essential understanding of the mind, the aberrations of our minds. That it's not just conditioning like a dog. It's much more so. Now, is there anyone out there, or are there any people out there willing to discuss it with me or just ask me questions? I'm going to go on a program on Saturday. Honestly, I forget the name of the program. Maybe Paul has it. There's a program on Saturday. I'm going to do it 12:15 in San Diego. It's the same lady that we did it before, but I don't remember her name. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Wendy may know who, I'm talking to my producer. But she wants to talk about exorcism, and I'll be on her program for about 2 hours. And it's in San Diego, that's all I can tell you right now. But they loved the last program on, the hypnotic states of Americans. But in it, I mentioned the subject I've just mentioned. And she said, can you talk about it? I said, if you will ask bright questions, ask me the right questions, but dare anybody listening to this program, dare you come up to the telephone without mentioning your name. Just give a false name if you want to and ask me about it. I know when you're probing intelligently and when you're putting me on. Okay. 1-800-866-8883. So I will pitch this again in the after the break. And what's on my screen, put there by coincidence, by mind control, by clairvoyance. Well, it's the thing I wanted to talk about. And I had my book ready open, looking for it. See, it's called Finding God in Physics. And there's something in that book. I'll start off with this and then talk about the exorcism afterwards. So hold on to your horses. But I would love to talk about, if you want to understand it for yourself or for someone you love, that can be cured of their emotional and mental problem, but cannot unless they understand that.
The Foundation of Human Understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the Foundation of Human Understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
Now, I have a subject I'd like to talk about, if you will oblige me, by making calls of inquiry so I don't have to sit behind this microphone all by myself and imagine people listening. Which is sometimes the case because you're scared somethingless. I can't find the right word for it, but somethingless. Can you fill in that word in your mind? Mental telepathy. All right. But you are scared somethingless, because it's a frightening thing to talk about, that you might be possessed. And that your government may be possessed, like Hitler or Idi Amin. You know, it was a black tyrant who was pretty nice to begin with and suddenly flipped. Who was the fellow in Guyana who was a nice guy? Jim Jones. He was a nice fellow. Everybody loved him. All of a sudden he flips. And, well, it's like being married. You know, an engagement ring. And then, what is the other ring? Wedding ring. And then, what was the other one? I don't know, but... It's in other words, there's something else, and I forgot the bottom, the punchline to it, but it was funny, so I'll have to do that one tomorrow. all right, well, so maybe somebody can oblige me who may know this joke, and I'm not very good at jokes, obviously. But I'm going to just quickly... say something. I had a leak in my storage room, and we had lots of stuff stored there. And I've discovered when we went in there, we had to get rid of a lot of things. But I found a box of old manuscripts and pamphlets, which I published once every month. And I've done that ever since beginning. I'm going back, God knows how many years, about 50 years at least. And we have a magazine. It's called New Dimensions. And I believe it's called New Dimensions. It was pretty musty and pretty smelly. But what struck my attention was it was in 1996. I wrote an article on, in my book published in 1997 called Finding God in Physics, Einstein's Missing Relative, I found it with a little more reference to God and more deference to him, but which I have found in, I looked in my book to see if I put it in there. It's a different chapter. It was a chapter 7, but it was a chapter 6 in the pamphlet. But I actually have discovered, you'll be seeing this soon, believe it or not, I have published this book in conjunction with the new book I have just written called Gravity Driven Universe. I've changed the title of this one, which is going to be a companion to it, book one and book two. One is for physicists to explain how the universe works differently from what anyone thinks. And I'm going to be giving a talk on this subject in the Corvallis University in Oregon. And I think on the 20th, if you want to be there, you can, I suppose. You get a special pass and get in. I won't have long to speak, but I always attend those meetings and put my 2 cents within. But this one, this particular subject matter, recently they've discovered, of course, they call this tiny little particle that goes through the Earth and through all the spaces in the Earth and it comes out the other side. And they discovered that by sending it 450 miles through the Earth to some other place, it arrives there sooner than the speed of light. And this is a very, very, very disturbing discovery. It's turning physics right on its head. However, I was way ahead of them because even in that chapter, as I opened the old smelly little pages of that magazine I wrote every month, New Insights. I think we called it New Dimensions in those days. I don't have it in front of me because it's so smelly, I couldn't bring it into the office. But I can read it from the book itself, Finding God in Physics, which is changed to Finding God Beyond Gravity. Because the first part is called Gravity Driven Universe, and that first part is pure physics. In other words, it explains the creation of matter from what appears to be nothing, and why something like a neutrino, they call it. I call it my first particle. I didn't have a name for it. I call it an origitron because it was the original particle out of which other particles. So through the book, it's called an origitron because why not? Why call it neutrino when it's an original particle? And I explained how it became a partner with another one and how that the first particle doesn't have a charge, but when you put two together spinning opposite directions, like if you have a river and on one side of the river you have the little eddy spinning one direction and on the other side of the river it's the other direction. Or if you stand in the river and you create a divide in the river, if you look behind you, the little eddies forming as you break the current of the river and the river curves around you, look behind you and you see the eddies spinning in one direction on one side and the other direction on the other side. And when the current closes normal, that's physics talk, current closes, they disappear. But if that current were gravity pushing them together, not pulling, then you have the first electromagnetic nature of matter. In other words, a magnet. You look at the nature of a magnet. It you can actually put it on a sheet of glass and put a magnet underneath it, to put a white sheet of paper and put iron filings, I forgot to say, on that, and put it underneath, and you can see the shape of the field. But where's this field coming from? It's a magnet, but it's electromagnetic. But where's the electro part? Where's the electricity coming to make that a magnet? It's coming from space somewhere. The electricity must be nearby, see? But nobody really, we thought of that. It's too hard to think about electricity creating things that spin. But a magnet is the representative of something keeps spinning. If you put a magnet on your desk and come back a million years later, it would still be spinning. It would still be a magnet. It would still be a force there, renewing itself continuously. So I explore this, but I'm saying the first two particles, when they come together and press together, then I say in my articles later on, but in the opening part of my article, I won't read that to you right now since I'm explaining it. I'm saying when these two particles, which are chargeless, come together spinning, then gravity pushing them together causes electric current. Gravity still flows and flows through the center of these two particles while the gravity is holding them together, as it's what we call the Casimir effect. And I don't want to bore you with that now, but it's electric current between these two. And electric current is the speed of gravity slowing down at the speed of light, becoming electric current. So you have electromagnetic mass. I'm saying that gravity as a river of some kind, rivers, it's like spinning little eddies, and these eddies being pushed together in some way, I won't go into detail, the gravity becomes materialized in the spin, just like if you look at a swimming pool and see the pump pushing the water out, and look at the shadow on the body of the sun shining, and you see that the right next to the pump, at least 2 or 3 feet away, you see nothing. But all of a sudden, about 2 or 3 feet away, you see things, the water spinning, creating a shadow, which is equivalent to a density of water. And that might be very similar, a little spins, and they disappear. But that might be very similar to what mass is doing, being made out of what you can't see, gravity. A flowing, an invisible flowing background field, spinning itself into matter, but a chargeless form, and then spinning another one, and then being pressed together, being in near proximity. And I won't explain how it works. But immediately, we see a tiny particle that's lighter than a photon. I'm just grappling for words. Lighter than a photon. Something infinitely small. A photon can't do what this does. It goes through spaces. I called it a rigiton. They're calling it a neutrino. I say if something that small it can be pushed along, I'm saying light does not move by itself. I'll give you an example. Shine a light through a pane glass window, and you will know, if you study science, that it slows down depending upon how fast it slows down, how slow it slows down, depends upon whether it's glass or diamond or other translucent material. But it does slow down, and a diamond is about 40%. But it comes out the other side of the diamond, if it was a slab, and it would speed up again. Light coming in the opposite direction does the same thing, both ways. Now, you can't throw a baseball through a window and expect it to come out the same speed as it went in. That's what's happening. So I theorized immediately from that there's an invisible wind that light rides on it. And one direction it is driven by forever. The other direction, the other vector, or the other arrow of gravity pushing the opposite direction would regulate it. I'm saying gravity, being a no-thing, isn't like two rivers canceling each other out. They flow through each other until something spins and gets stuck between, and then you see the force of gravity pressing against it. Gravity becomes a pressure. But on small particles, such as light doesn't motivate itself. You turn your flashlight on, you don't have a launching pad. It's whisked away immediately by some wind. And so I explain why in this published in 1997, it's the booklet, the whole book was published. But in 1995, it was in my New Insights. I pre-published it. Way ahead of this, I'm saying that particles can travel faster than the speed of light if they're small enough, because they're carried on the energies of flowing gravity, gravity flowing bidimensionally, flowing through each other, like two trains on the same track, phantom trains flowing through each other. But when something becomes solid, when they become solid, those two trains compress on it. Those two phantom forces compress on it. Just talking about two dimensions only. And so it can go the speed of light and be driven at the speed of light. It doesn't need a launching pad. It will go faster than the speed of light forever. And the speed of light will go forever until it bumps into something and then dissolves and gives up its energy. This particle apparently doesn't give up its energy that easily. So I just want you to know that I've got this book coming out. It's called Gravity Driven Universe. It should be out next week, ready to go, up on Amazon. And it's for the physicist, but it's not that hard to read. I call it common sense science, but it's science nevertheless. And then the second part is called, what is it called? Finding God Beyond Gravity. There it is. Finding God. So I've changed the title because it does match it perfectly. So the second part is more philosophical. But I had the science in the philosophical one already. You might want to get a copy of this. It's only $10 because the book is going to be one big book, about 300 pages. And right now, this book is about 200 pages, I think. You see, there's an older one, the one all by itself. It's 173 pages. So if you want to get a copy only for $10, you might enjoy it, but wait for Gravity Driven Universe. You know, if I may say so, ladies and gentlemen, if I may pat myself on the back, I don't like to do that. But I did discover, I'd have produced, and I produced what I'm about to say 53 years ago. The ability to conquer post-traumatic stress disorder has been in America on sale and given for free to those who couldn't afford it for the last 53 years. And the military, only with some help, a great deal of help from Colonel Monaco, has now said, confirmed, that it really does work. Psychiatrists and generals are happy. I can't find the word. They're delighted because nothing works. Only this works. And now it comes. Now I'm going to come back to my other subject. It works. And because, and now I'm going to come to the metaphysical, I'm going to come to the mind. I'm sort of coming away from physics of the universe, coming now to the physics of the mind and giving myself a little credibility, if you don't mind me saying so. Because I've discovered something that nobody else discovered. Does that not give me a leg up? I've had enough people degrading me for the last 53 years with no evidence of what they're saying. Yep, and people believing it without it, just wanting to believe it. And I've done nothing wrong in all that period of time. There is no complaints about me. There's only just rumors, only the kind of stuff that our decent politicians have to experience, like Sarah Palin. And she's a terrorist. Yeah. So you can imagine what they said about me. I was all alone. I was privileged by the enemy to be the first enemy, you know, to be so treated. And I'm glad they're not my friends. It distinguishes, you know, who I am when the media does things like that too. It distinguishes. It makes Sarah Palin look, well, make her more beautiful and them more ugly. But some upside-down people may think otherwise, you see. Upside-down people think beautiful is ugly and good is evil. They're terrorists because it's terrifying. Now, my subject matter is terrifying. And I would like you to talk about possession. Who will talk to me and ask me about possession? Who will talk to me about it? Because it's fair game. I say that psychiatry is missing something by excluding God from their science. And what I've done is include God in my coping strategies. But he's not mentioned. I don't have to use the words. Listen carefully. I don't have to use biblical words or religious sounds or anything, just ordinary words strung together in a very special code. Yes, it's a special code, but the soul recognizes it, and it gets past the subconscious, and it gets to the spirit, which affects a cure. It affects a cure, but I'm not the cure. Because it brings the consciousness back to to its origin that you had when you were born and lost it because of the environment into which you came. All right, now, I've gone around the universe a couple of times in this last 15, 20 minutes. The number is 800-866-8883. Look out for my book. You people who tinker with electricity from gravity and you backyard and garage people who – garage people – who work in your garage with tinkering with things and who are inventors who like to dabble with science, you may enjoy this book, not because of its spiritual quality, but because of its science concepts, which will turn science on its head. They are afraid. I'm coming back now to what the CERN, what does CERN stand for? Yeah, it's a big laboratory, and I don't have the names, but it's a huge laboratory. It's where they do that accelerator. It's a big accelerator. It goes through three countries to accelerate particles to and smash them together, see if they can figure out what matter is. And but they are the ones that are disturbed over the fact that they think that they have been thinking for some absurd reason that nothing can go faster than the speed of light. And poor uneducated me knows different, that particle can go faster than the speed of light. And the particle is smaller than and tinier than a photon. And now, how would I know that? How would I write that? But it's right in that book when you read it. And I published it in 1950. When was that? 55. No, 1996. Actually, it was 1995 because it was I published the book in 1997. So it's been that long. But meanwhile, I've been messing with this other physics, and it's my first love, my second love, I suppose. But let's go back to the mind now, because there's a certain physics to that. There's a certain physics to helping a person get better, and that physics is a spiritual component. And it's spiritual in a sense that there's good and evil. And either you're driven by forces in the world or driven by a force that made the world and you and his image in it. And we need to talk about those things. We don't need to talk about it I will talk about it in spiritual terms here to help you understand that coping strategies that which the military use to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder that works has no mention of God in it and no religious language in it, yet it addresses the spirit that drives a person to kill themselves. Now, I would like to stand shoulder to shoulder, face to face, I should say, with any psychiatrist, any psychologist, anyone who thinks they know what they're talking about and debate me on this. Or you may call me at 800-866-8883 on this program. It's time to puff out my chest and challenge all the naysayers that have troubled me most the last 53 years on the radio. Okay. You don't hear much from them now because I've struck gold. I've helped soldiers to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's because I'm able to transcend the ideas of the time. And I want you to also do the same thing so you can get free. Here we are again. All right, now. I was talking to you a few minutes ago about coping strategies. There's a civilian version. Well, the civilian version is a download. But if you get coping strategies for the military, you will get exactly what they get. But what works for the military, if you ignore some of the military stuff in there, which you may not get deep enough into it, is a multimedia CD. But you get right away everything you need, the same things the soldiers get, the veterans get, that helps them overcome what has been otherwise impossible up to now to overcome. And now, you need to understand this. 18 military people commit suicide every single day. 1,000 every month. Try it. Do you understand the danger of this? And there's nothing that the VA, nothing, any psychiatrist, there are no treatments that work. Don't take my word for it. Go check it out. Out of the Ninth Circuit Court excoriated the VA in Washington for doing nothing but giving them pills that exacerbated. It amplified the speed by which a person committed suicide. It doesn't help. What they give does more harm than good. A placebo, does better. That's the great secret. They give you a placebo, and you will feel better than if you took the drug itself. It will have the same effect, because there's something called belief, even though that belief is short-lived, and you become dependent on the placebo. At least it's better than a drug, but it doesn't cure you. It has to do with belief, but not the perfect belief. It's the belief when you're looking forward to the pill, and you can actually produce the same result as the chemistry. As long as you believe it is the chemistry, it affects you that way. If you find out about it, your belief disappears. What we need to do is to have you give you that kind of relief without chemistry forever. That's called freedom. But you see, when it comes to post-traumatic stress disorder or mental disorders close to that lead you to it, you are dealing with the spirit, and not even hypnosis can fix it. You can get a temporary effect by using hypnosis, because you're only dealing with one part of the mind. But the other part of the mind resides there like God sitting on a throne. So when the suggestions melt away, when the affirmations die away, then it reaffirms itself. It reaffirms its old domination over your mind. Freud tried it. He tried hypnosis. I know why it will work, because I'm a professional. I know a lot about hypnosis. I know why it doesn't work. I also know why coping strategies work. Or be still and know. I named it be still and know after the biblical saying, be still and know I am God. How are you supposed to be still? How can you detach yourself from the endless loop of thought? I'll show you how. You only have to call me. Or you have to just go buy the CD. But there's a dark spirit in you that won't let you do that.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6692. That's K6692. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Yes, CERN stands for European Organization for Nuclear Research. And they are troubled about a particle called a neutrino traveling faster than the speed of light. They just discovered it. But I predicted it in 1995 or 96 in a publication which became the book I have in my hands called Finding God in Physics, which now will be included as this second book of a two-book book, book one and book two in the same book. The first part being Gravity-Driven Universe, and the second part renamed as A Philosophical Explanation, which is easier to understand in philosophical terms than religious terms, where the first part doesn't contain the religious side of it, but the physics of it. And it is renamed as, the second book would be now, Finding God Beyond Gravity. See, where does gravity come from? If it's a force, if it's a no thing, where does it come from? Where does this no thing that becomes the thing come from? Other dimension. And that's all explained. Explained as far as that dimension can go. But you know that dimension, where it comes from, is the dimension inside you called consciousness that says, see, I made all that. Just think of that. That dimension where gravity flows into the universe. You know, it flows into the universe how can I explain it in simple terms? It flows into the universe like a big whoosh. See? Now, if you take a big whoosh like that, it's very hard to say it in just a few words, forgive me. But if that wood whoosh was a force, a flowing something, flowing at a constant speed, huge, much millions of times the speed of light, maybe not some millions of times, but lots, much faster. And it's one dimension. If you take a ball of string, one dimension, you take this ball. I was working on it because I'm going to give a talk at the University of Corvallis in Oregon. And I'm making a ball of string and from a length of yarn. And round you go. If you change the angle each little bit each time, one dimension becomes three. Now you have a ball, one dimension going round and round and changing angle with angular momentum, as they say, it becomes three dimensions. And if it's a flowing full field, always going the same speed, no matter how big the ball gets, the speed of gravity is always the same. And then if you look at the ball of string and you see how the strings crisscross geometrically, that's the fabric of space. So these rivers of gravity now crisscross. And at those three-dimensional crisscrossings, they spit little particles spin. Bingo. That is the beginning of trying to understand how the universe is created, how from another dimension, but you can't go to the other dimension. There's got to be another dimension reflected in this one. But the only way you could... I'm appealing to thinkers. What is consciousness? It's a self within a self, a non-corporeal self within a corporeal self, right? You can't have two physical bodies inside each other, but you can have a spirit occupying the same space as a physical body. Matter can't go into the spiritual world, but the spiritual world can inhabit matter. And so when you're upset and angry, that relationship with the other world that says, look, I made this world. I'm giving you the understanding. I'm giving you these talents to make the better world, or I'm giving you the freedom to make a worse one. Then you have another spirit that tests that fortitude, that relationship, and where you fail. And everything in this world is inclined to make you fail. Everything, everywhere, school, home, church, everywhere there's deception. And there's nothing but deception. Every now and then you have a bright star, a Sarah Palin, politically speaking, or Ronald Reagan, politically speaking, where you see them, what they do, you know, have the magic of their personality, especially Reagan. It's rare that you get anyone like him. Chris Christie would be another one. They should draft him. But anyway, so within you, there's something called consciousness that recognizes what Roy Masters is saying. Roy Masters isn't saying anything new. You've thought of it. That thought has been given to you. You got created. You got put together. You don't know how. But then whatever puts you together lives in you and doesn't live in an animal. Not like you. It doesn't reside in you and says, look, I made this. Appreciate it. It's like church. You're inside your own church. The kingdom of heaven is within you, right? And so, your body is the temple of the living God. The Bible says that. The kingdom of heaven is within. Consciousness. And it bears witness. In other words, when you think of the beginning, you think of, as I just tried to describe, the beginning of the universe as a flowing from, a white hole, which has an orifice, which is a perfect size, and its energy is flowing in. And there's a reason why this energy can flow in, and I deal with it in the book. So is it pushed in or is it sucked in? Is it sucked in from this side? If this side is less dense than where it came from, then it would pull it in and provide the force, but it won't go there. I'm only saying to you, there's another dimension, and you can't go back through space and time to the beginning, to where all that stuff is coming in, that gravity is coming in that you can't even see. You can measure it, but you don't know what it is. You don't know whether it's a push or a pull. No one's ever defined what it is. It's just the mathematics is right either way. So, but you can say, yes, I'm in that dimension. You see, I'm in this world, but not of it. Wow. Now, if you could do that, if I could show you how to separate yourself from your physical self so that you could look at things that way and appreciate creation, that is equivalent to prayer and appreciation. If, let's say you're an artist. Let's say you are an artist. Do you create for yourself or do you paint for other than yourself? The answer is, of course, you paint for other than yourself so that they appreciate you. Now, with God, does he create other than for himself or does he create for himself, for his own amusement? No. He creates for other than himself. He has to have a consciousness that appreciates it, and the animals can't. I appreciate it. That is prayer. That is worship, awe, wonder. That's Einsteinian style. All right. But I don't get any calls from the subject of, I don't think I have. Let me look at my screen here. Spiritual experiences during sleep. Why do I take other people's problems and responsibilities? All right. Let's talk to Donna. We've got a few minutes before the break. And I've been yattering, but I just want to give you something, a grasp, a jolt, a little walk around the universe. I'm trying to find words. A little journey around everything and see if I can bring it together as the mind thing also, as why how important it is for you to be detached and flow like the universe flows from another dimension. So does who you are flow from this dimension into thoughts. Not the kind of thoughts that flow into you when you're upset, when you're reacting, when you're angry, when you're frustrated. That's when you get displaced and you get possessed and you have conflict. The conflict is not just in your brain. The animals don't have conflict like that. Naturally so. I suppose you can create it if you want to. You create confusion if you want to. But our conflict is our conflict is the war between the animal and our human potential. We're in conflict. The animal self, what we are becoming because we're reacting, overreacting, and becoming deluded and confused. And there's something inside us that even makes our excuses for us. It's just like Adam. He never made his own excuse. Something spoke to him. Something acted through him. And what acted through him spoke through him in terms of the excuse he made in his mind. And you do the same thing. Something acts through you, and you make an excuse. And if you believe that's you, if you believe that's your thought, then you believed a lie. If you can actually hear what I'm saying, that is not your thought, but that's the thought that is given to you through your failure to deal with stress properly. Post-traumatic stress disorder. That's how it begins. It begins at home. And when a soldier goes to battle, he tries to retrieve the honor and dignity he had when he was born. But thinking that he could, and a good reason too, an American soldier is fighting for freedom and the freedom of others. And the motive is good, but he's ill-prepared to face what he sees. So what he sees is a million times worse what he left behind at home. He wasn't ready for it, and he brings the enemy home. What does it mean by bringing the enemy home? Evil. That's what he brings home. And psychiatry can't cure evil with chemistry. I challenge you, all of you psychiatrists anywhere, try to fight me on this one, because I get results. What I've do, what is done through me, gets results. I'm not the one that does it, and you're not the one who thinks you think. You go to university and you learn everything, and you got, if I may, excuse me, I'm going to put my caller aside for a minute, hold the line. I'm going to ask you, psychiatry, you've got your PhD. Now, some of you may have grown more mature and left some of that behind and become more spiritual. But you people who are rigid, how many different branches of psychiatry are there? Quite a number. How do you know which one's right? How many different branches of religion are there? How do you know which one's right? They're all wrong. The only right thing is to listen to what you know is right in your heart and trust it. And the first thing I ask you to do is to trust what I'm telling you about your thoughts. They're not yours. No one's ever. You've the average person, well, in order to be saved, you have to realize you've never had an original thought. Never. Not one single original thought. So where do thoughts originate? Outside? Listen, you have to have thoughts. You have to have language. I get it. But you can transcend language. You can possess language and use it to express what is revealed in a wordless way from within. Or the spirit of language can possess you. The knowledge of good, the knowledge of evil, doesn't allow you intuition. So you get too caught up in religion and psychiatry and psychology and intellectual stuff, whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, whether religion or science, then you are missing as a human being. And you are the tool of the dark side of the force. I mean that. You'll never enjoy your life, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many times you get married, and no matter how much you cheat. All right, we'll be right back. Okay. Who will now reach for the phone or go to your computer and download Be Still and Know? Who will take a checkbook and write a check for the foundation? Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Because I've helped you, or whatever is in me, acting through me, has diffused what's acting through you. That's a better way of saying it. It is not psychology. See, yes, I've got a language. Yes, but you know, how can I say this? I was walking along the beach with a Monsignor from Rome, and my friends were kind of, they know the Pope, and I drove in actually, to help with something that's not important right now, and he happened to be there as a guest, and I walked along the beach with him. We had a nice chat. And it was a very intelligent man. And I said, we've got so much scripture. And I said, but there's so many words. And so, what is your position on this? And he said to me, very simply, right to the point. He said, it's not so much the word, or the words are valuable. He says it like this. It's who says them. And who puts them together in the moment. Right on the money. They know it. I think people in the church know these things, but they're not able to bring it across. It's just something you can't go to school. This is something this man sees for himself. But possibly I would find such a man at crossroads with his peers and not fully understanding him, even though they belong to the same church. that he's able to say that to me, but maybe not to anybody else. But he likes his job and is able to do good things in a way that other people can't, and mystify his colleague. But I have found also that this can be done. But it's a gift. And I have had that gift. You have your gifts. We all have our gifts. But your gifts can't come forth as long as you are reacting to pressure. There are two pressures. One from the outside, and that makes you in conflict in your obedience to it, to the one on the inside. Now resolve the conflict by coming over to the other side. In other words, yield to that pressure. Be still, and you'll yield to it. Go to my website, fhu.com. Okay, fhu.com. Thank you.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6692. That's K6692. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
It took me a little while to get started. You know, I was sort of grappling in the beginning. And you could see me grappling for something. And all of a sudden, I took off. And I could see it myself. I feel better about it. But please, we are a nonprofit organization, a church, a different kind of church. We want you free, even free from us. If I can help you, you don't need me anymore. I'll go look for somebody else. Help me look for somebody else by paying your light bill. If you don't pay your light bill, then everything stops. Don't you see? And then you'll be guilty of something. See, breaking the chain so that the next person dies. Yeah, I mean that because we're helping soldiers. So far, 65,000. I've only got 1,700 CDs left. I'm putting them on hold right now, and for other reasons, I can't tell you right now, but we need money to keep going. A check, please, if I've helped you. Thank you. You know what the address is. Okay, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, or go to the website and, you know, do a thing. What do they call it? What do they call that when you... Pardon? Auto debit. I always forget. I got to write it down, but I won't know where I put the pieces of paper. I'm completely disorganized when it comes to sitting in front of a computer. All right. I'm completely disorganized anyway. I get reorganized every day by intuition. Oh, there it is. I had a little time getting going this evening, but let me take our call now. Let me see. I think we'll talk to Donna in Pennsylvania. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Roy.
Yes, what can I do? You sound down.
Thank you for taking my call, Roy. I'm calling because at night while I'm asleep, a spirit is attacking me.
Well, that's not unusual. If you behaved yourself and dealt properly in the day, then God will help you at night. And if you don't, then you know, I think the Bible has something to say about that, if I remember correctly. Don't ever be angry, and don't go to sleep angry. Don't give the devil that kind of opportunity. That's what I've read it somewhere, and I know it's there somewhere. Maybe Paul can actually find that.
Yes,
don't let the sun go down on your anger or your wrath. That's right. So now, for you must be careful how you live. And you need to find that peace with your Creator, so that you can regulate your thoughts. He will save you from the irregular thoughts, irregulation of thoughts, the thoughts that come from up from emotions and your relationship, your sick relationship with the world. You must be intractable. You must learn to be intractable in faith and movable. You start with the little things. Start with your head. Stand back from your thoughts. The minute you do that, your thoughts, your soul becomes uncluttered, purified. But no one can stand back from their thoughts unless the Father draw him. And the Father cannot draw him, or the Son, cannot draw him if you're not inclined, if you don't have the inclination. And you just can't do it. I think I'm ready now, and I'm separate from my thoughts. No, there's got to be a spiritual something or other that is compatible with the will of heaven on earth. And you don't know you have it. But most people have it. A lot of people won't have it. A lot of really wicked people. But there's something about wicked people you need to understand. It's not for you to judge who is wicked permanently and who is wicked temporarily, or who's just an agent like you are. You are basically a good person, but you are a clone. Someone has done you in. The world has done you in. You've been handed from one to another, from one guy to another guy, since you were a little girl. And so that you are judgmental and resentful and angry and blaming and projecting blame on other people and turning it in on yourself. Am I right? That's what you do. Who doesn't? I don't have to be too smart for that. I don't have to be smart because we all do it. We either know we do it or we don't know. If you know you do it, then you know the truth about it. That's a beginning. Do you do that? Are you guilty?
I have been in the past. I would say that I've come to a place where that's behind me, and I do have a good relationship with the Lord. I read the Bible.
Reading the Bible won't do it. Reading the Bible won't give you a good relationship with the Lord. It gives you some clues to have a good relationship, but simply reading it. You know how many times I read the Bible in a year? Maybe once. I only have to pick up the Bible once and flick through it, and I have enough information in, ammunition, just that little flicker of understanding that goes on for months and months and months and months, and I grow from it. I pick up the Bible again and open just a page. Flick, 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 flick. Stop. There it is. Ah, I never saw that before. And all of a sudden, I'm alive again. I'm reinforced with new energy. I see all kinds of, I'm shown all kinds of things, one thing leading to another. It's a little flow of life force and thought. And it keeps the enemy at bay. It keeps the bad people at bay. They don't know how to deal with that. Okay. I think I'll cease communicating. Because you don't understand what I'm talking. I can hear it in your voice. Okay, we'll be right back. All right. Well, may I suggest to get this copy? Look, these books were $20. $10 now, because the book will be in the other book when it comes out. It will be available on Amazon. And our website, $25. Gravity Driven Universe. It's 6x9. It's a good size book. But it is a book on physics, which people with a high school diploma could read, if you learned a little bit about physics in school, just a little bit. But the second part is common sense. It's the same thing, but more philosophical, and it's sweeter and poetic, noetic. It's easy to understand, because I explain it with all different, by talking about rivers and streams and how Mother Nature expresses Father God, gives clues to how he works. And I'm talking about little eddies in a river, that kind of thing. It becoming mass, and the river being gravity spinning it, and becoming space-time to it with a curve, little curvature around the rocks, when like a rock, the little eddy is like a little rock. It sits in one place. It tends to want to sit in one place because it's spinning, and then the river that creates it flows around it, and that's time curvature of time. See? And suddenly time appears when mass appears, and not before. It's very simple. You don't have to be a genius to understand all this stuff. God shows you. God will help you to understand what you read. You'll love it. I know you will. Gravity Driven Universe, or by just the book I published a long time ago,